Please take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 5 as we continue this study. John chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading with the 6th verse and read down through the 18th. So good to have you here today to hear the word and rightly divide it together. John chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed, and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. Afterwards Jesus finds him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Again, we thank you for this family that is gathered together to enjoy your precious word. Please, that you'll just guide and lead each and every one of us, that our ears be turned to you, that we hear what you have to say, that I say what you want to have said today, please, dear Lord, that I speak it clearly and speak it properly. It is a wonderful opportunity that all of us have to speak your precious word, to tell others about Jesus, and to fellowship and visit over your precious word, and that's what we're here to do today, and we thank and praise you for this opportunity to do so. Please that you will lead us now and touch every heart, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll trust in you today. Today is the day of salvation. No other day is offered. Today is the day. So please, that we be obedient and obey and come. And please help us to serve you and to listen to your word and praise and honor your name and live for you, dear Lord. Now please, touch every heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The first part of this section, where we started today, of course, we know that this man has had this affliction for 38 years. And we know that during that 38 years, it seems so that no one has ever come by to help. No one has ever seen the need to help this man into the pool. And it's so sad that we seem to do the same. We can walk by people that we have known for many, many years and don't seem to have a burden to tell them about Jesus. We can just walk right on by. And so as we're listening to this, let's think on these things of the work that we have before us. The question that was asked him, Wilt thou be made whole? And you see that in the end of the sixth verse there. And you know, we've talked always, and there is never a need if the person isn't lost. Well, we can say that all man is lost. Every person that's ever been born was lost. They needed salvation. They need to be saved. But the sad thing is that most people today that live in this world, and this world is becoming more and more ungodly as we live our days, we find that people don't think they're lost. They don't see a need of salvation because they have been told for so long that God is a God of love and God would send no one to the pits of hell and to the lake of fire, and all are saved. And that's kind of that universal salvation that man has taught for so long. Few people say that really this is the end, that when we die, that the grave, that's it. Few people say that. A few try to convince themselves of that. But most people convince themselves that they're going to go to heaven. And they have done it by their works, by their abilities. Well, they have left the Word of God. The Word of God does not tell us this. And the problem is that they do not see their sin-sick condition. They are dead in their trespasses and sins, and they need a messenger to bring the gospel to them. And that messenger is you and me. That messenger is you and me to come and bring the gospel to this lost and dying world. And so Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He wanted to know, "Do you know you're sick?" Well, that seemed to be an obvious question. And it should be an obvious question to all mankind. When we said, "Do you know you're a sinner?" they should say, "Oh, yes, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior." But you see, they don't. And so Jesus asked a very simple question. Do you know that you need to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? And of course, his answer was a very common answer, a very humanly answer. The impotent man answered in verse 7, "Sir," which means Lord, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." I need help. I need someone to come. And as we've talked about, isn't it so sad that there has been no one over all these 38 years that has felt the need to help this man to get into this pool for healing? Isn't that so sad? You know, you and I, we can think about that, and my, our eyes would have seen this, the man in his need and the need of so many others. Remember, we're coming from the sheep gate to the sheep market and on to the pool of Bethesda, and then next comes the temple. We find this man in the temple here very, very soon. And so as we look at this picture and we think about all these people that have walked by as they go to worship, well, how many times do we rush by, you know, to go to worship, and we don't take time to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus? We don't even see him. We don't even see all these people that are around us that are dead in their trespasses. We don't see them. We don't see them at all. Most of you know the story of my neighbor, but it's you may have a similar experience. But the Lord showed me, just as clear as he would have spoken to me, that I was to go down to talk to my neighbor, Henry Kropp, down the road, just less than a quarter mile from where I live. And I come down over those hills, and I get to that last hill, and I look at my watch, and I think, oh, I've got Bible study tonight. So I'd turn the corner, and in we'd go, and we'd all get ready as a family and head to church. And the next night, something else, you know, the Lord burdened my heart coming down that road. You've got to go talk to Henry about Jesus. And I turned that corner. And the third night, the same thing. Same burden, same corner. All I had to do was go down less than a quarter mile down the road and talk to him. But I came up with an excuse all three nights. The fourth night, I come home, no burden. Never gave it a thought. Turned in the lane. Fifth night, sixth night. And by the seventh day, we get a phone call. And four nights before, Henry died. You see, the burden wasn't there anymore. I was supposed to talk to that man. Now, was it just a fellowship because he was saved? Or was it my purpose to go tell him about Jesus? But God taught me a lesson. That you listen. When he burdens your heart to go talk to somebody, go talk to him. Your days may be numbered, their days may be numbered. You know, I've had two funerals in the last several days, and in both funerals I spoke very specifically about a day to be born and a day to die. And it's God's doing, not ours. And so we best be ready. We need to be ready. We also need to be sharing this great news that is before us. And I didn't. Now, how many folks have all of us walked by the Lord touched our heart and said, go tell them about Jesus? But we came up with a very good excuse. Got to get to church. Got to do this. We got to do that. How long would it have taken to go down? And how much a blessing it would have been to know that he went to heaven because I listened to the Lord. I don't know. Was I the messenger that God sent? We were sure close enough neighbors. I should have been down before. But God gave me a special warning and I didn't listen. This man says here in this verse of Scripture, the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Could your neighbors, could your family say the same of you? They had no one to come and tell them. We know that every man is without excuse. But God has given us such a special message with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to be busy telling, making it so clear that it cannot come. There can be no way that they don't understand the plan of salvation. We find here that Jesus made a tremendous response here. He says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus spoke and a miracle was performed. Well, that's exactly how we get saved. Jesus speaks and a miracle is performed. We're made new. It's just that simple. Jesus speaks and we're made new. Jesus gave this command. He says, rise up, take thy bed and walk. And Jesus, in so many words, is saying, trust me. Trust me. This man can't walk. Rise up, take thy bed, and walk. Jesus says, I've given you a command, and you trust me. And you see, it needs to be the same way with you and me. You know, he calls us. And when he calls, all we have to do is say, yes, Lord Jesus. And we become a part of the family of God. We become a child of God so quickly. Immediately. We don't have to do some works. We don't have to follow in baptism. We don't have to be at church so many services in a row so God will confirm that it's true. God does the savings. He does the calling. He does the saving. And this man had been for 38 years unable to get from where he was to the pool fast enough. And here comes a man he'd never seen before. I don't believe he'd ever seen Jesus before. And he told him to rise up and walk. To rise up and walk. To our knowledge, Jesus had not performed any miracles in his presence. He had never witnessed his power. And you know, the same can be said about most of our lives when we get saved. The Spirit of God that lives and abides in our hearts after salvation comes is the first real experience we have of God's power and strength. We can see it in others, but it's not the experience we have when we accept Jesus as our Savior. And so you see, we too, when someone is saved, we maybe have known a parent or known a friend or someone that had gotten saved, and they had told us about the Lord Jesus, and we had seen their life change. So we could have seen and witnessed that kind of a miracle. But the real miracle is when it happens to you. When you trust in Jesus, you become that new person. Well, here we are told that this miracle that was performed, Jesus just spoke. How do we get saved? We speak the Word of God. The Word of God. Not our words. The Word of God, and salvation can come to those that we know. Just that simple. We speak the Word of God. Jesus spoke His words, and the man heard. You see, that's the first step to salvation. He asked him, "Do you need to be made whole?" And his response was, "Of course. I want to be made whole, but there's nobody to help me. There's nobody to help me." And again, how many people cross our paths when they die and wake up in the place of torment will say, "I didn't understand. Why didn't she tell me? Why didn't he tell me? Why?" This man listened. And this man believed. And then this man obeyed. We have three parts here. He first listened, and then he believed, and we know he obeyed, because what did he do? He got up. Lame. Paralyzed. Couldn't walk. He got up. He got up. So you see, he listened, he believed, and he obeyed. That's how you're going to get saved if you don't know Jesus today. And that's how we're going to bring salvation into the hearts of those that we know, is by telling them. And we pray that they listen, and that they believe, and that they obey, they respond to it. We talked last week that if there was ever a man that had the right to question this, if there was ever a man that 38 years, and Jesus didn't say here and grab his arm and pick him up and say, "I'll help you to the pool." He just told him to get up. Get up. You know, a lot of people that are offered salvation, they won't believe. This man could have stayed in the condition he was in for the rest of his days if he would have looked to Jesus and says, "No, I can't." But he didn't. He believed, he listened, he believed, and he obeyed. You know, there's several examples of this wonderful, simple faith in our God in the Scripture. One is back in Luke, and it's the lepers. And there were several lepers that Jesus said, you know, "Rise up." Let's just go back to Luke 17. I don't want you to miss this. It's not far back there towards the front of your Bible. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to begin reading with the 11th verse. We'll read down through verse 19. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met he 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and says, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, 'Where were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. All 10 in this case were healed, but only one had returned to give thanks. And you know, that's always an evidence of a heart, because that's one thing that God gives us immediately, and that's a thankful heart. He gives us a thankful heart when you're born again, when you're saved. And out of all these 10, only one returned to give God the honor and glory. And so you see, he listened, he believed, and he obeyed. What happened to the other 9? They were equally healed, but only one acknowledged God's power and glory. And so you see, you get saved, you start praising him, you start thanking him, because that's what's in your heart. There's a paralyzed man back in Matthew. If you just go just a little further back, we're going to take a look at here. They were just told the words, and they were obedient, listened. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. You notice that Jesus does so much of his healing, or at least is recorded, on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, he was making a very clear point. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9, And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said to them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. And then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how that he might be destroyed. Do you notice in John here and back in Matthew, something that's going on here that is surely missing out of these religious people's hearts? They don't care that this man's arm is healed. They don't care that this man here is without strength, and God restored his ability to walk and to move. They don't care. They don't care. They have no love and no sympathy. Is that what these 3 men saw the difference when Jesus spoke? They felt his love. They felt the sympathy that he had for him. They felt his presence. What made the difference that these men listened? I believe that, of course, he had and presented the love of the Lord Jesus himself upon them. We should do the same. When we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we should speak the same way. We should be the most kind, sympathetic, understanding people that are on this earth. Because God gives us that love inside. We should have that. We should possess that. We find here back in John chapter 5, and as we look, there is on in the 9th chapter, which I'm going to be of John. I'm going to be preaching on that soon, and that's the blind man. And if you would like to go ahead and read it this afternoon or soon, read through there and just mark the number of times that the people kept asking him, who took care of your blindness? And they just kept asking and asking and asking instead of believing. And so he was told to, they put the spittle on his eyes and told to go to the pool of Siloam. And as this man here, he listened, He believed, and he obeyed, and he received his sight. And so, you see, again, salvation comes so simple. Now, as we look through the 8th and 9th verse, and Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, "If it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." What compassion, what love, what sympathy. A man that had laid for 38 years. And how many times had they walked by this man and saw no need to help him into the pool? And now to condemn him because he's carrying his bed. Now, it's not no four-poster king-size bed. This is just a little bedroll. That's all it was. He just tucked it under his arm and off he went. Why did he do that? Was he so worried that somebody was going to steal his bedroll? He did it because Jesus told him to. Take up your bed and walk. Rise up and walk. And he did. These Jews, they're not just the average, ordinary Jew. They are the Jews of Jerusalem. They're the elders, the chief priests, the religious people. You'll find that those that are religious will be your ones that condemn and criticize you the most. And here is no different. The Sabbath day, big deal. The Sabbath day, fourth commandment. You know, we're told to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They were to do no servile work on the Sabbath day. There was also a time with Nehemiah and Jeremiah, both, that had made mention of bearing burdens on the Sabbath day. And these Jews, I'm sure, were remembering all that because they were a stickler for the law, and they would add to it just a little bit so it would meet to their specifications. And so in Nehemiah 13:19, it says, "No burdens be brought on the Sabbath day." And they closed the gates of Jerusalem so that no burdens could come in or go out. And then Jeremiah in chapter 17, verses 21 through 22, this again on the Sabbath day, it says, "Take heed to yourselves and bear no burdens on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day." Burdens. Burdens. This is the difference. He picked up his bedroll. A burden is merchandise. Stop buying and selling. You know, there was a day, there was a time in our lifetime, anybody that's my age, that you couldn't, a restaurant was the only thing open. There wasn't a filling station open. There wasn't a grocery store open. And now they don't even close on Christmas Day. None of them close. There's everybody's buying and selling. Well, we're not under the law. You know, years ago we were down in Dallas, and they had what they call the blue dot, and it was a great big blue dot. And if that blue dot was open, legally there was just a handful of filling stations that were allowed to be open on Sunday, and that was just not so many years ago. But now Sunday is just another day. We have all the normal activities. You can drive down the road and you won't see any more combines or tractors or trucks or anything on any other day as you do on Sunday. It's just another day. You see, we're to set a day aside to come and worship our God and serve our God. We're not under the law as these folks were, but the problem was that they were beginning to do this. The Jews were, and so Nehemiah and Jeremiah both had to deal with it. Said, "Stop it. Stop it. This is a Sabbath day." And so now this man here, this impotent man, when he picked up his bedroll and carried it, he was not going to sell his bed. He was not bringing it to town so people could examine it and purchase it so he could go back and get another one. He just did what the Lord had told him to do. He carried his bedroll and he was doing nothing wrong. Jesus, you see, never broke one of his laws. None. He kept every one of them. And so when you see him doing something like this and them condemning him for doing something on the Sabbath, it's because they had taken that law and they had stretched it just as far as they could stretch it for their own purposes and their own gain. We kind of have the same thing today. You know, we have folks that take every word. We've seen that in the politics of the last years, almost, it seems like, before the election, that they would take one word from either candidate, and they would take that word, and they would just stretch that thing. And, you know, when we have 24-hour news 7 days a week, they've got to take something, I guess. And they can just take that thing so far out of context. Well, you know, the church and religious people do the same thing. They can pick it out and pluck this one phrase or word out, and they can criticize and condemn all they want to. But Jesus took care of it in Matthew 23:24. He says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." And that's exactly what many people do today in their condemning, instead of lifting up the preachers and the teachers of the Word of God. What did he say here when he answered them? He didn't say, "The one that told me," in verse 11 is where I'm at. He didn't, this man didn't say, "He told me to pick up my bed and carry it." What does he say here? He answered them, "He that made me whole." He's the one that told me to pick it up and carry it. The one that made me whole. No other man had ever accomplished this. No one had ever done this for this man. No one had ever shown such a love and such a concern and such a desire to make this man whole. How many people walk by time after time after time that could have stood there long enough to help this man into the pool? But they didn't. But Jesus, he took time to look on this poor sick man and give him life. The one that made me whole. The one that made me whole. And you can say the same thing about your salvation. When you're talking to somebody, you know, what do you understand about the Word of God? You know, I'm just young in the faith. I don't understand much about the Word of God, but I know the one that made me whole. I know the one that took my sin away. I know him. You want to know him? You see, it's that simple to talk to people about Jesus. To talk to people about Jesus. Verse 12, "Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk?" You notice which phrase they left out? He said, "The one that made me whole told me to pick up my bed and walk." They said, "Who is this man that told you to pick up your bed?" What love! What compassion these people have. He's standing. He's walking. Are they not seeing that? Is there not an ounce of grateful thankfulness in their heart? That's how we get sometimes. How many times do people lay dead in their trespasses and sins? And we're much more concerned about something that is of no importance whatsoever. But we need to be concerned about their soul. Verse 12 here, the questions, and we'll close with that. Who made thee whole? Who told you to carry your bed? They didn't care about the who made you whole. They wanted to know who told thee to carry your bed. Then asked they, "What man is that that said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed did not know that it was Jesus, because he had left very quickly, conveyed himself away. This kind, this compassionate, someone that came by and saw a need and helped with that need. That's what we're to be doing. That's what we're to be doing. We have such a picture here of what we should be. Simple picture. Simple picture. Please. Don't let anybody you know die without telling them about Jesus. We all have folks. Every one of us. Every one of us. As we always do on the radio, we ask that simple question, what are you going to do about Jesus? You know, for a believer, it's, you know, what are you going to do about him? Are you going to take him out and tell others about him? Or if you don't know Jesus, are you going to invite him into your heart today? Because a day today is a day of salvation. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come, and I praise you for your strength. You've given us a very, very busy week. I thank you that you've allowed us to minister at the funerals. You've allowed us to teach your word, allowed us to get the radio programs taken care of, and allowed us to attend a wedding. It's your strength and your power. And please that you bring us back tonight. Bring us all back tonight to study your word as we enjoy that precious book of Romans. Let's take your word serious. Let's look. Let's see the sick. Let's see those that are dying. They're dead. They're not dying. We thank you, dear Lord, for every opportunity that you give us to share your gospel, that you've prepared that heart for us to speak to them. And just help us, dear Lord, not to miss it, not to walk right on by thinking of something else. Please today save those that are lost and grow those that are saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.